Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and I'm going to let you sit down. Romans 1, 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You can be seated. I want to talk to you about the gospel for just a little bit. And I want us to make sure that we all understand what the gospel is, because, Darren, right now, all over this country, people are attending sanctuaries. They're gathering in theaters. They're gathering in small buildings, storefronts, to hear the word of God. What I have learned is there's a lot of skyscraper preaching, and it's story on top of story up on top of story. And then on the last story, they'll give a sad story about somebody dying, and they'll give an altar call, and people feel like they need to come to the altar, and they'll go to the altar because of this feeling that they have. And if you were to ask a lot of those people why they're going to the altar, they don't know why. Somebody told them a story. They felt bad. Other people moved to the altar. I want to let you know that's not gospel preaching. Let me clarify that. That is not gospel preaching. If you aren't going to the altar because the gospel has pricked your heart and you understand that God is dealing with you and what there is to it, then we're missing the point. Some people have, Rick Warren said this in the Purpose-Driven Church. He said, and don't amen this because this is incorrect and I know how this works. So as I said, he's like, amen. I'm like, no, it's not that. So don't amen this. He said, if you can find a need in a man, you can lead any man to Christ through his need. Let me tell you the problem with that is, anybody in their right mind, if I come to you and you have an illness, and I tell you that Jesus can fix your illness, you need to come to him because he can fix your illness, who in their right mind is going to say, nah? Nah, I'll just go ahead and stick here with my illness. If you need financial, you're in financial trouble, and I find that need, and I say, hey, Jesus can fix your finances. You need to come to him, and everything will get better. Who in their right mind will say, nah, I'm just going to stay broke? Because what happens is we make Jesus all about fixing our problems instead of making him Lord of our life. Let me show you this. People spell gospel, G-O-S-P-I-L-L. Have you ever seen that? The gospels. Has anybody ever seen those? Where if you have a need in your life, there's actually a pill bottle, and there'll be certain scriptures that you take out, and they're called the gospel. And you take this to fix your need and whatever your need is. That is not the purpose of the gospel. Because what we do with the gospel, Jason, is we make it man-centered and not God-centered. Let me say that again. I understand that you have needs, and I understand that Jesus can meet those needs. But Kevin, if I make it all about meeting our financial needs and our physical needs and our anxiety needs, and I make it all about that, then I have a hard time when I got to preach to you that he doesn't just want to be your healer. He wants to be your Lord. And when he becomes your Lord, he's going to require something of you. Amen. We make it man-centered. The gospel isn't man-centered, it's God-centered. The reason he came was so that he could lead you back into relationship with him. Amen. Oh, I feel preachy today. I'm ready for you. You know what scares me to death? It's one of the scariest times in our nation. It's vacation Bible school time. Let me tell you why that scares me. Because a lot of churches just find some kid or somebody to throw in a classroom with lost kids that come in, and they're coming in because there's games and there's fun, and there's some kid teaching a class that doesn't understand the gospel, and they got some kid praying a rehearsed prayer, and that kid lives to be 40 years old and says, I got saved at vacation Bible school, but there's no life change. There's no evidence that he ever got born again. Are you being kind of harsh? Yeah, I think I will today. If you're a visitor, we're usually nicer, but right now, not today. You know how many people say they're saved because they prayed a rehearsed prayer? Because some preacher told them to come to the altar and repeat after me? You know how many people listen to radio preachers all over the nation, and at the end of the little broadcast, they say, now we want you to pray this prayer, and they say, we believe if you said that prayer, you got born again. Let me tell you the problem with all that is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In the book of Acts, Peter preached a sermon, and the Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. Dustin, Peter didn't give an altar call. Peter didn't have to beg people and tell them stories. He preached the gospel with such power that they came to him and said, "Sir, what must we do to be saved?" He didn't have to call them. They came looking. Oh, do you hear me? That's the power of the gospel. Somehow, AJ, we've made Jesus this anemic, weak, beggarly God that's begging people that to come to him and just begging them and begging them and begging them. I'm here to tell you, I serve a king, not just a king, the King of Kings. He's not a Lord. He's Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, he's coming back, and he's coming back after a church that has made herself ready. He's not coming back after an anemic, weak, beggarly church, and he's not going to beg people to serve him. This is the gospel. The gospel is this. Jesus Christ loved man so much that he died for their sin. Not only did he die, he was buried. And he did what no other religious leader could ever do. He got up on the third day. But he didn't stop there. He ascended on high. He sat down at the right hand of his Father. And I want you to listen to me. He said, "It's finished. It's done." He sat down. Are you hearing me? He sat down. The work of salvation is complete. Say that again. It's finished. He sat down. Oh, man. I didn't even think about this, but last night, I was out in the yard and I was working. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, "It's hot yesterday." Man, I was out there in that heat, and I purposed. I said, "Lord, help me lose weight. This is miserable." I was out there working, man. I'm crawling under a building. I'm raking. I'm doing all this stuff. And I came in. What time was it last night? 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I told Tracy, I said, "It's going to feel so good to sit down." I just imagine what all Jesus went through. I just imagine when he sat down and said, "It's finished." He cried it on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." He took the blood into the holy place and he obtained eternal redemption for you and me. I want to shout about it because I know that he was the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. He was the only one who was able to save me, to shed his blood for me. It's salvation by substitution. There is no other way. He took my place. He took my pain. He took my sorrow. He bared my cross. Then he sat down and he said, "Come. You that have no money, come. Come and drink. You got to come. You come to him. He draws you through the Spirit." Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I was listening to the preacher not long ago, and he said that he went to a conference. And after the altar call, he said he went and stood in a room and he listened as the people that came to the altar would talk to the counselors. And some of those counselors would look at him and say, "Why did you come to the altar?" He said he heard this answer over and over and over. "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." The problem is some preacher gave a sad story and moved them emotionally, and they went to the altar because it was a group exercise and they had no idea why they were there. They didn't know it was God calling them. They didn't know it was God dealing with them. They didn't know that they were sinners. I'm going to tell you right here, when you come to the gospel, you come to the gospel like Peter said. What must we do to be saved? He said, repent. Number one, you got to turn to God. You got to turn to him. You got to turn to the one who shed his blood for you. You got to turn, and by turning to him, you are turning away from your old lifestyle and your old bondage and your old chains. I've sat in services, Rick, where the preacher would tell a story at the end about some girl that he gave an altar call to, and she died on the way home in a car wreck, and it rips your heart out. But I can't respond to that if I'm not responding to the gospel. Am I making sense? Because it makes me nervous that people have been sitting in churches for 30 and 40 years and then finally hear a sermon and go to the altar and said, I thought I was saved, but I found out tonight I wasn't saved. I don't want anybody in this room to leave here and not know whether you're saved or not. If you're saved, you ought to give him praise. If you're lost, you ought to get saved. But I'm going to tell you how you do it. You do it by and through the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. That means if you're saved, the gospel saved you. If you need to get saved, it's the gospel that's going to save you. But we use this as a one-time event. Well, preacher, I tell you, I had a guy look at me right in the eye one day. He said, hey, preach, pray for me. I said, all right, man, I sure will. He said, man, I've been saved since I was 6, but I'm demon-possessed. That's a lot of mixed up theology right there. Wait. You're saved, but you're demon possessed? You're both? No, but let me tell you what happened. He got saved at 6 years old. Somebody told him, pray this prayer. Let me tell you this. If you're saved, you can't be demon possessed. Let me say that again. If you're saved, you can't be demon-possessed. But he thought because he said a prayer at a Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school that he was saved, but he wasn't saved. You can't be both. Because it's the gospel that delivers you from the power of the enemy. It translates you. It takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, and it puts you in the kingdom of his dear son. Let me tell you this. If God lives in you, there ain't no devil in hell can come in and take over that God. Can you be influenced? Yes. Can you be possessed? No. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. So if you don't understand how you're saved, you need to get saved today. Let me tell you how this works. It's crazy how it works. It's amazing how it works. I tell people the story of Jesus Christ coming to this world, dying for their sins, being buried and raised again, and filling them with their spirit, and something moves in their heart, moves them to repentance. I don't have to tell a story. I don't have to beg. But when the gospel works in its power, something convicts them. Am I right? How many people here got saved without being convicted? Raise your hand. None of us. You didn't schedule it in, did you? Y'all know I say this all the time. You didn't say, well, here's what I got to do. I got to go to work Monday. I got a hair appointment Tuesday. Not me. Somebody else. You about to need one. I told another day, I said, it's borderline unbiblical. I got a hair appointment on Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm going to go to church and get saved. You didn't do that, did you? Did you schedule it in? I know some people act like Jesus is a New Year resolution every first of the year. You watch. You watch January. They'll show up. It's like we're the gym. And by February, they're gone. So don't worry. Just hang in there for a month. You'll get your seat back. Tell you what Jesus ain't. He ain't a New Year's resolution. He ain't a resolution at all. He's a revolution. He doesn't just resolve to change you a little bit. He wants to make you born all over again. He doesn't patch you up. He doesn't put new wine in old bottles. No, let me tell you what he does. He makes the bottle new. He makes the wine new. He makes the song new. He makes the anointing new. He makes the bread new. He makes the comfort new. The deliverance new. The forgiveness new. The love new. The help new. He makes all things new. That's the power of the gospel. Here's the problem. This may mess with some of your theology. Oh, well, read your Bible. God loved man so much he became one. Jesus, the Bible says, was God manifest in flesh. Are you listening to me? This is in your Bible. He was tempted in all points as you were, yet without sin. He that knew no sin became sin, so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. Let me preach to you real quick. The world loves Christmas because Jesus is a baby, and babies don't bother you too bad unless they got colic or something, whatever it is. He doesn't have any demands as a baby. He doesn't put any requirements on you as a baby. He doesn't ask anything of you as a baby. Well, let me tell you what happened. Jesus grew up. And not only did he grow up, he died and he went up. And the Bible says he returned unto the Father. I don't have time for that, but I'm going to tell you this. He's in a position now. Are you listening to me? He's in a position now that the world don't want to know nothing about. Because he doesn't just want to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Oh, preacher, just let him be my Savior and be my gospel and fix all of my problems. No, he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your King. He wants to put by you so he can possess you, so he can own you, so he can use you. He ain't your crutch. Pop another gospel. How do you feel? I feel so much better after my gospel. You know what we all want? We all want to feel better. No? How many people came here with aches this morning? Raise your hand. Something on you's hurting. Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. Come on, you can admit it. It's okay. How many of y'all come in here and you feel great, everything's good, everything's working great, nothing's bothering you, raise your hand. Two people, hey, y'all need to sit on this side. This side over here is anointed. Look at them over there smiling. All the rest of y'all back here. They're like, yeah, we're good. Everything's working good. Y'all sitting on the wrong side. We all want to feel better. So what we do is we use Jesus as the thing that makes us feel better. God, I need you to touch this. God, I need you to touch that. God, let me tell you what Jesus does, though. Sometimes he says no about you feeling better. Now, if you come to Jesus as your gospel, and then you pray and ask him to do something, and he doesn't do it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get mad at me because I portrayed you a Jesus that does not exist. Oh, don't worry, he'll fix all your problems. He'll make everything wonderful. It'll be sunshine and rainbow. Hey, you'll live on Easy Street for the rest of your life. Won't you come? Won't you come? Who in their right mind would say no to that? If you got unruly kids, they'll start acting right. If you ever have a flat tire, you'll never have one again if you come to Jesus. Your transmission will never go out. Your washer will run forever. I don't care if it's a Maytag or not. Just go to Goodwill, buy you one. If you got Jesus, it'll last forever. You don't ever have to worry about your plumbing breaking because when Jesus comes into your life, the plumbing just flows and it's living water on every fountain. Let me tell you this. Your water line's still going to burst if you're saved. If you don't believe me, I'm saved. Come and look at my backyard. I got it fixed. I went walking through the yard and I hit water and I said, man, it ain't really raining that much. I wonder where this come from. I said, I gotta track this. And the closer I got to where I know my water line is, I said, oh no. Oh, no. Oh, no. But see, I'm not a gospel preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. So I grabbed a shovel, and I started digging. And I realized I'm not 20 anymore. So I got in the truck, and I drove all around town trying to find me a mini excavator, and I finally found one. He said, I can't have it there till 5 o'clock. I said, that's great. Get it here. I need it. I don't care. Get it here. And you know what? Bad things. Where you at? Where you at? Oh, there you are. Is that your car sitting out there in the parking lot?
One of them?
How long is he going to leave it out there? I mean, you know.
I'm waiting on some calls.
What happened to it?
Transmission. Transmission.
You mean transmissions go out in cars that belong to people that can sing like that? You kind of preaching and singing up here. You got to watch. Don't get my calling. I mean, if you do both, what am I going to do? Because I can't sing. Hey, you may be my retirement plan. Your transmission went out in your car, and you're saved, and you come to practice, and you sing, and you come to prayer, and you're probably as faithful as anybody in this church, and his transmission went out. Now, if he thinks that Jesus is just something that you pop to fix every problem, and he doesn't understand that Jesus is with you when the transmission goes out, he's with you when the water line busts, he's with you when you're sick, he's with you when you're tired, he's with you when you're weak, he's with you when you don't understand, then you understand the gospel. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All right, to prove it, then we're going to sing a song and let y'all go. Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived, had an issue. He had a thorn in his flesh. And you know what he did? He asked Jesus to take it away. And he didn't just ask once. He asked again and again. He asked him to take it from him. And Jesus didn't take it. You know what? I believe God can fix stuff. Anybody ever laid hands on your car and God fixed it? Raise your hand. Nobody? A couple? You feel weird. You're like, no, that's so weird. I was young, porking. I was poor. And my clutch went out in my truck. Would not go in gear. Finally, I had to go to work. I mean, I tried for days to get that thing to go in gear because I couldn't afford to put. I walked out there and I said, God, if you're anything, you're a mechanic. I said, fix this clutch. Boom, boom, boom. I know you don't believe it. I don't care. I was there. Some of you mechanics are sitting there saying, well, what had really happened? No, don't you even. Jesus fixed my truck. Don't give me that gear was this and that gear was that. I don't even want to hear it. I prayed, and it went in reverse. I understand that that can happen. I understand that God can make. I understand a lot of things about it. But I want you to understand this. Even when it don't work, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He said, take it from me. Take it from me. Take it from me. He said, no. No, no. He said, but my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He said, okay, most gladly, therefore, I'm going to rejoice in my infirmities so that the power, the gospel is the power. The gospel is the power of God. He said, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I may be in a trial, but I still got the gospel. I may be in struggle, but I still got the power. It ain't about taking it away. It's about taking me through. Pop another gospel. Some people get hooked on a fix. Amen. I need you to tell me good things. You know what happens when God tells them something that they don't like? I don't know if I'm going to be part of this club. I thought this was all about me. Newsflash, it ain't. Does he love you? Yes. Did he die for you? Yes. But if you're his, he owns you. I'm saying it again. He owns you. So you got to understand the power of the gospel. When I went to an altar, I knew something was drawing me to an altar, but I knew what I was going there for, to repent. Everybody? I've seen it happen. I've been in revivals where a movement happens and an altar call comes in and several people will go up and then more people will come up just because they're going up and there are people at the altar weeping and you'll look around and there'll be two girls standing there. They don't understand. They don't know why they came up. They got caught in the movement and they came. Has anybody besides me ever seen that? There'll be two boys standing over there. And it's at an altar call and people are with. Some people know why they came. Other people don't. I want you to understand, if you are a Christian, it's because the gospel convicted you so much that you agreed to walk according to his word, no matter the cost. Because the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them. Everybody hear this. If you don't hear anything I say today, I want you to hear this. If you are a Christian, you're called to take up your cross and follow him. We're not going to always live on easy street. As a matter of fact, he said, count the cost. He said, before a man build a house, he counts the cost. Salvation's free. The anointing is going to cost you. Relationship is going to cost you. Listen, I was praying the other day. I was praying. Me and you were talking, and I was praying. And I'm going to tell you what God told me, and this is in front of everybody. I love you. He told me you're a wimp. No, he didn't. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Man, Jason's got a sermon God's dealing with him on. And, man, you know what's tough? Tell me, Eddie, you ever had a sermon that you just didn't know how to bridge the gap between certain parts of it, and you was like, man. Huh? A lot? You ever been there? You're just like, man, I need to know how to get from here to there so that when I'm done, they don't say, you didn't have a point. What was your point, Dad? You got one of them buckshot sermons where you just shoot and stuff goes everywhere. There's no bullet. There's no sense. It's just, what was that? So I'm praying, Jason. I'm like, God, just give it to him. 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 I don't know if y'all believe it or not, but God can tell you stuff. He said, tell him, come get it. Get alone. Get alone with him. Sacrifice. And he's going to tell you something. And the reason I'm telling you this in front of everybody is this. I'm praying that when God finishes this sermon, that when he preaches it, it changes somebody's life forever. Man, sometimes, Jason, you got to fight for it. You got to say, you know what? I'm not going here today. I'm going there to be alone with him. Anybody hear me? Because that's what the gospel does. It compels us, drives us, pulls us. If you're a little relaxed in your walk with God, I hope this stirs you up, because he's worth more than what you're giving him. You've been a little haphazard in your prayer and your study, and you done stop listening to Christian radio and you're back over there on them other channels. So, preacher, don't preach on my music. You say, oh, it don't hurt me. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. It's worshiping the creature more than the creator. But man, when you're in relationship with him, you know what you want to hear? Things that uplift him. Either say amen or oh me, it's your choice. If you went a little wayward, I want to call you back today. If you went a little sideways, I want to bring you back to the path. Because he's worth it. I used to give altar calls like this. Come to the altar. Come to the altar so you don't burn in hell. Come to the altar so it's weeping and gnashing of teeth and all that's true. But you know what it made it? It made it all about you. And all about you not getting burnt. And who in their right mind, could I say, hey, come up here and stand or I'm going to burn you, would not come up here and stand. I changed the way I do altar calls, Darren, because I made it all about him. You know why a sinner should repent? Because he deserves the love and obedience that you're not giving him. Let me clarify this. You know why a backslider should come back? Because he deserves the love and obedience that you're not giving him. He deserves it. Salvation is an honorable thing. It's the right thing to do. We love him because he first loved us. We're given back because he gave to us. I believe in a Savior that died for my sins. I believe in a Savior that was buried. I believe in a Savior that rose again. I believe that. I believe that to the point that I've laid down a lot of things in my life to get closer to him. Can anybody say amen? Somebody needs to be at the altar. Somebody needs to pray. If it's you, don't wait. Who cares what anybody else in this room thinks about you right now? I'm not where I need to be, preacher. Hey, it happens. It happens. Can everybody say amen? The shame is if you stay that way. You know what they say? I mean, I don't know if they say it in your realm, but they said it when I was in my realm. I was raised in Fireco. We may have weirder sayings than what you have. People say things like, it ain't a shame to get lice, it's a shame to keep it. Maybe they didn't say it over there at East Gulf and Rife's Branch and Rodale. Right where we live, you bump into people and you can catch some stuff. I want to take a minute and thank the Lord I cannot get head lice anymore. Yeah. I don't have dandruff either. It's not a shame. It's a shame when you stay that way. Listen, bumping into this world every day, sometimes we get the residue of the world on us. Amen? Sometimes we hear the wrong song or hear the wrong story or hear the wrong joke and hear this and hear that, and it affects us. But right now, I want you to walk out of here clean. If that's you, as they sing, don't wait. Step up. We're going to pray with you. You won't pray alone. If that's you, step up. Come on, let's sing. What y'all got? Let's go.